Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're discussing the question, how can I discipline my toddler toward the gospel? And I'm actually going to go ahead and read the question as it was originally put, because one of our members at Providence actually posted this. It reads, "Hi Greg and Kyle, I'm really looking forward to your podcast. This is exactly the kind of thing that we need. I was wondering if you could go over what a conversation should look like when disciplining a toddler. I've talked about this with several moms at PBF, and we never really come up with a great answer. We know what a conversation should look like when they are older, and we can talk with them about their need for a savior, but how do you convey that to a two-year-old? How do you discipline so that they will want to change for the purpose of glorifying God by obeying their parents instead of just not wanting the pain of a spanking to happen again? It would be helpful to have specific phrasing. Thanks."
Yeah, I love this question, and I've been looking forward to talking about this. Love it for at least a couple of reasons. First of all, whenever I hear about young parents spanking their children, it excites me. And that sounds so horrible, but it's not because I relish the idea of children in pain. It's because I like countercultural obedience to the scriptures. Our society has gone so overboard trying to convince the world and Christians that spanking is not only ineffective, but it's cruel and it's wrong. And the scriptures are so clear on this that inflicting discomfort on the softest part of a child's body for the purpose of teaching them that there are consequences to sin is a moral good. It's a good thing. And so when I see young parents obeying the scriptures in this way, my heart just goes, huzzah! I'm just really excited about this. The second, I love this question because of the heart behind it, people wanting their kids to obey for the glory of God. As a pastor, that really excites me, because it means that we've got people in our congregation that are wanting this themselves, you know, they want it to happen in their children. So love this question. Can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, and if I could, I am also very happy about this question because I'm expecting little girls soon, and just the thought of that, I need help. So this is going to be great for me
yes,
as well.
Yes, you have a little unregenerate sinner
yep.
in the oven right now.
Oh, yes. Well, let's go ahead and start with the first point. Manage your expectations.
Manage your expectations. Obedience motivated by God's glory is something that regenerate adults, believers who are adults, grow into. So people who have been believers for a long time, this is something that we try to grow towards. So Jason Odell is in the room with us, and people who are not PBF people don't know who Jason is. If you are a PBF person, you know that Jason is like the famousest person at PBF. If you're not a PBF person, then I'll tell you who he is. He like does everything that everybody else can't do at Providence. He's like the most broadly talented person in the world. In anything that took any kind of technical ability to get this podcast off the ground, he did it. So Jason, we need some kind of sound effect of like a bubble bursting for this podcast. And I don't want to get too gimmicky with this podcast, but we're going to burst bubbles on the podcast. And we're about to do it for the first time. And that sound effect would go great right here. You're not going to get a toddler to obey for the glory of God. It's just never going to happen.
Pop.
Yeah. Because they have Genesis 6, 5 hearts. Every intention of the thoughts of their cute little hearts are only evil continually. They're depraved little people. And any of us who have children especially who have survived to the toddler age, know that this is the case. They're depraved, and if we have our theology right, we should recognize they're incapable of obeying for that motive. So we want to manage our expectations and line those expectations up with right theology. I mean, the obeying for the glory of God, that's something that mature believers grow into. You're not going to get your toddler to do that. And I'm so sorry to burst that bubble, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, the truth is helpful. So yes, regardless of the fact,
right.
It's needed to start there.
Right.
Well, we also need to recognize the fear of discipline as a godly motive for obedience.
Yeah, you know that I believe that the fear of discipline being a godly motive for obedience is implied in the command to spank. Okay? The Bible commands us to spank. And so I think that implies that fear of discipline is a good thing. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But fear of wrath, fear of authority coming down on you, is a great biblical motive for obedience. That there is this higher motive of wanting to glorify God ought not make us reject outright the motive of the fear of discipline as if it's unbiblical. Because think about how much time Jesus and the apostles put in front of us this motive of the fear of judgment in the form of warnings about judgment. So we can think about John the Baptist in Matthew 3 saying, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So what's the motive for bearing fruit in keeping with repentance? You don't want to be chopped down and thrown into the fire. It's a good thing to fear judgment and therefore to repent and believe. Jesus follows right on the heels of that in Matthew 5:30. He says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. So Jesus gets on that same train and is pointing to judgment. So if Jesus says that fear of judgment is a fine motive for working or killing sin, then we should believe the same thing too. And then we can go to Paul in Romans 13, and Paul has kind of this broad thing to say about authority in Romans 13. I'm going to read a little bit longer section, so bear with me. He begins in verse 1 of Romans 13, says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." And there he's talking about government, but what he says can be applied to any authority in life. He says, "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." So every authority in life is from God, and it's going to include parental authority. Verse 2, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers..." And we could substitute it in there. Parents, employers, every kind of authority, they are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. And so I would say that Paul in Romans 13 is teaching believers to fear the sword, so to speak. I'm going to use that phrase continually as we continue with this podcast. Fear the sword. That is a good motive for obedience. Why would I say that? Because Jesus and all the apostles put it in front of us. They when they warn us about judgment in an effort to move us to obey, they're saying, hey, this is a good, godly, biblical motive for obedience. If you don't do it, if you don't obey, bad things are going to happen. And it's a good thing to teach your children to fear the sword. And again, let me make sure that we understand that when I say fear the sword, that's a metaphor.
Fear the hand.
Yeah, fear the hand. Fear the rod.
The pinch.
Fear the spank. Yes, right.
Well, let's delve into that point a little bit further. Teaching your child to fear the sword is a valuable gospel tool.
Yes, it is a valuable gospel tool. And There are numerous places in Proverbs in particular that say really helpful things about spanking. But there's one in Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, that is startling from a gospel perspective. Listen to this. It's Proverbs 23, verses 13 to 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. You will save his soul. Hmm. Now, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is not Solomon who he just doesn't know the gospel yet, and so he's confused. You know, the Holy Spirit is inspiring this just like he inspires the New Testament scriptures. Now, clearly, spanking itself doesn't save in place of hearing the gospel, so we have to interpret this in the context of the rest of the scripture. But the idea is there is gospel value in spanking, and I would like to suggest a number of ways that spanking aids you in pointing your kids to the gospel. And whenever we're spanking our kids, we're probably not thinking these things. I would like to encourage you to think about these things when you're spanking your kids, and then actually talk about these things at times in these pre and post spanking conversations that you have. Spanking gives the opportunity to show, number one, all authority is from God. And so we get that from Romans 13 that I read from just a moment ago. All authority is from God. It gives the opportunity to teach that God is holy. All of these are gospel points, right? God is holy, and that's why we cannot tolerate sin, right? It gives the opportunity to teach that sin has consequences. It's going to provide an opportunity for you to expose your child's heart. And the way that this question was asked, I know that this person has read Shepherding a Child's Heart, you know, because that's kind of the thrust of that book, disciplining a child and having conversations with a child in such a way that you're trying to shepherd their heart toward the gospel. Well, shepherding a child's heart, part of that is shepherding a child's rear end. And doing that, shepherding child's rear end, spanking, it gives you an opportunity to expose their heart, because your child eventually is going to see that even the fear of the sword, even this fear of spanking, isn't preventing them from sinning. And so that's actually a good thing from a gospel perspective, because it gives you the opportunity to point out, look, you've got a heart problem here. No matter how many times you've been spanked, you keep doing this thing over and over. Don't you see there's something wrong with your heart? Hmm. Now, are you going to teach all of these things every time that you spank your child? No. Now, there may be some people out there that say, yes, every time you spank your child, you need to go through all of this theology. People who advocate that kind of thing, I wonder if they get any laundry done. Because there's too much to do in life to talk about this kind of stuff every time. But I would say, talk about these things some of the time. You know, if you've got time to talk about this every time your child needs a spanking, then your child must sin like way less than my kids did when they were toddlers. Life just demands that you can't have these long, full-blown discussions of the gospel every time, but do it as often as you can. And when you put that together with all of these other things that you're teaching your kids about Jesus all the time, you're doing them a lot of good, and you are pointing them toward the gospel.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm reminded of elsewhere in Proverbs where we're told if we withhold the rod, we hate our child, essentially put.
Yes.
And it's obvious. I mean, all the things you just went over, you're really withholding your child from a blessing. You're preparing their heart. You're preparing them to learn these valuable lessons. And
right.
That is so helpful.
So it's like, and I totally get this question because I've been there. My children are older now, and so there's not a whole lot of spanking that goes on in our house anymore. So, but I remember the days when I was just worn out from this war, and I didn't feel like I was doing any good. There comes a point where you just have to believe the scriptures.
Yeah.
That I am doing good, and I am shepherding my child's heart toward the gospel by spanking them. It doesn't feel like it,
sure.
But I have to believe that the scriptures are right.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Greg, what words could be used?
Here's just an example of something that you could say, and some people might say, are you going to use these words with a two-year-old? But these are words that I would use with a two-year-old. You sinned against God by disobeying mom, or if you call yourself mommy or whatever. You sinned against God by disobeying mom. The Bible teaches that sin has consequences. I have to spank you now. Consequences is a big word, but your children can learn the word Pokemon, right?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah. So they'll catch on. They'll learn what
Absolutely.
Consequences mean, and it'll probably only take one or two spankings for them to realize what a consequence is. Now, occasionally, that conversation can be a little bit bigger or a little bit longer, and you bring in some of these things. Explain what you mean by that they've sinned against God by disobeying you. God has put me over you as your parent, and so when you sin against me, you sin against God. And sin has consequences for all of us, and because God has put me as your parent, I'm the one that God tasks with disciplining you. And if I don't discipline you, then I'm sinning against God. So, and you don't have to have these long conversations every time, but little snippets, you know, you can kind of take the long view. But occasionally that conversation can be longer, and you can say things like, do you see what a hard time you're having obeying mom and dad? Hmm. Your heart is so sinful that you want sin more than you want to please God.
Sure.
You need Jesus to save you from your sins and change your heart.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, you don't have to walk through John Stott's cross of Christ. It's just think baby steps.
And I'm sure you're going to get blank stares at first, but you know, just consistently doing these things as they grow older,
Absolutely.
These gaps yep. fill in and it starts to make sense rather than dropping it on them as soon as they reach the age when they can comprehend.
For sure. Yes. Yes. It's just like they're learning a language, you know, that they didn't understand all of English the first time you started speaking to them. They're picking these things up a little bit at a time. And so it's consistency over the long haul. We don't need to expect them to be able to regurgitate the gospel by the time they're three or anything like that. It's just we need to take the long view. And when you spank your kids, you're showing them they need a Savior. Hmm. When you spank them repeatedly for the same sin, you're showing them just how desperately depraved they are and how much they need Him to change them and to forgive them for their sins. So you're doing gospel good through that spanking. So that's what I would say.
Good stuff, Greg. Yeah, I hope this helps a lot of people. I know it's going to help me. We went a little longer today, but
that's okay.
For a good reason. So see you next time.
All right, bye.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.